So today we'll sing bhajan number 2 once again. So today we'll sing bhajan number 2 once again. Fifth day of class. Yeah, so we're half of verse 3 and bhajan 3. All right, let's go. Let's try to do a bit of both. All right. Let's continue on with verse number 2 now. I wanted to speak some more. We won't chant. We'll save our time because we have to do 3. We'll chant 3 when we do it. So I wanted to read something more. This verse, the second verse, Srila Prabhupada used the second verse in his preaching, which is in his books. He has quoted it. This second verse has some wonderful qualities of telling devotees, as I mentioned yesterday, first, don't waste your time getting on the mental platform wondering whether you're doing something right or wrong so much. Of course, one should be conscious of seva aparad. I mentioned yesterday that aparad means, radhana means worship, and aparad means inappropriate or offensive worship. It means, which is opposite, the opposite to proper worship. It means your attitude is bad. Stinks, actually. Attitude is bad, repulsive or inappropriate. So, when one rectifies one's attitude, being introspective, being able to understand why devotional service and friendship in devotional service means not only to understand either intuitively by ourselves that we're doing something wrong, or be out of love with our shiksha gurus inform us with great affection for our benefit that, well, you're not doing it properly and this is not the proper way of doing it and you should do it like this. But somebody tells you it's wrong, there in Kali Yuga the tendency is to rebel, that, you know, nothing's wrong with me, or etc. They're just finding fault or something. That's the demonic tendency. A Vaishnava does not try to defend. It is not a Vaishnavic thing to do to try to defend oneself. One should remain the humble servant of the Vaishnavas, and one should not criticize others, but if one is criticized, one should be forbearant, show forbearance, tolerance. Now, it's not that, well, they're criticizing unnecessarily, but I'll show my greatness by tolerating it. No, one actually feels that, well, nothing will happen without Krishna's will. Perhaps I deserve it. But still, one should not feel, well, they're on my case. Why don't they just encourage me properly instead of chastising me? Why are they just on my case? One should feel that, of course, one should look for the good qualities and one should not chastise somebody or even somebody you love constantly or be on their case, ride their case, as it's stated. But rather, constructively, one should demonstrate to another devotee why something is wrong, whether it is seva aparad, nam aparad, or Vaishnava aparad, why it's detrimental to advancement. And out of fear that it will be detrimental to somebody's advancement, therefore that senior devotee has taken the time to lovingly point it out to you. So that should be made apparent. When the living entity realizes that, wow, if I continue in this mentality, I will slide further into more lackadaisical attitude or offensive attitude, and my advancement will be obstructed. And actually the whole purpose of human life is to go back to Godhead, develop love for Godhead, so it'll be obstructed. So that this is, so one should pay attention to rules and regulations. One should pay attention to lapses of yourself in seva aparad, nam aparad, Vaishnava aparad. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini does not give too much stress on the difficulties of anartha nivritti in terms of seva aparad, because the idea of sadhu sangha is that generally your superiors will encourage you in such a way that devotees will come to know why something is wrong and just desist from doing it. When your mentality is rectified, you're free from the aparad. Also, freedom from aparad in seva aparad It means then by chanting a Bhagavad Gita chapter, worshipping Shalagram, these are some prayaschitta, recommended in shastras if somebody considers that they've made an offense while worshipping the deity, etc. Because by hearing shastra, Bhagavad Gita, etc., your mentality is purified. Your consciousness is brought around to think of Krishna, think of Krishna's pastimes, which purifies the mind and the heart, cleanses it of all contamination and disease. So that pleases Krishna that a person has taken up the reformatory practices of hearing and chanting his glories with a view to purify oneself and Krishna's pleased, and therefore indemnifies the devotee of any reaction for the offense committed in seva aparad. This is why it's recommended if you commit an offense and you consider that you did it, chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita is good, or worshipping the deity with love on Ekadasi, etc. Just like if you offend a Vaishnava, it's mentioned you should fall down at the Vaishnava's feet, try to pacify them with sweet words, humility, try to render some service to show your sincerity in their company. So similarly, if you think you offended Krishna, then serve Krishna a little extra special. Do some extra special austerity to please Krishna to show your sincerity of purpose. Like that. In any case, when the mentality is rectified, then one is free from the reactions for the offense. Although a Vaishnava never considers that I've been freed, perhaps I may have to suffer longer for that. In great lamentation, they take the holy name with great humility. And because if they do so with great humility, taking shelter of the holy name, surely the holy name of Krishna purifies one inside and out. However, if you commit seva aparad intentionally, thinking, I'm a devotee, I can get away with murder, you know, the end justifies the means, you know, like ripping off the public and giving the money to the spiritual master, well, it's, you know, it's all right, you know, or something like that, then, or any type of thing. Well, even if I fall down and break the principles a little bit because I've rendered so much service, Krishna will surely tolerate it or something. We cannot fall down and justify it. As Prabhupada mentions, no one in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 30, no one should use this to commit nonsense. So at the same time, you should be, the point I'm getting at is you should be conscious of mistakes in seva aparad, nam aparad, but not to the point that you become so worried that I cannot turn left, turn right, do this or do that, perhaps I'm making a mistake, so much so that it interrupts your main business of thinking of Krishna. That's the most important thing. In any vratta, Ekadasi vratta, Kartik vratta, the main thing is to increase your Krishna smaranam. Smartavya satatha Vishnur Vishmartavya na jachuchit. Sarva veda nisheda syore tayara vikinkara. Rupa Goswami mentions that. Think of Krishna always and not forget him. All the rules and regulations serve this one principle, just like a maid servant follows the master. Eteyore vikunkara. So, that's the most important thing. Raghunath Das Goswami is mentioning that here. Don't get caught up in smarta vichar, this is pious, this is impious, this is a good time to do it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a great Jyotishta, Jyotish, before he took sannyas and was involved in his preaching. Afterwards, some devotees would ask him, and he would say, if Krishna likes, if Krishna desires, I will do this preaching, I will do this something for him, if Krishna desires, like that. Oh Guru Maharaj, will this happen, will that happen? If Krishna desires, he would say. That was his mood. Take shelter of Krishna for the result. Although sometimes, because of his vast knowledge in astrology, sometimes he would look at a brahmachari's hand and say, Hari, you have to get married. He would say, yeah, you can't remain brahmachari. Although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur loved brahmacharis, as you know. But if you saw so many negative things in a person's hand, he would say some things extraordinarily. This was the reminiscences of one disciple, Jyoti Shekhar, who is Bhakti Vikash Maharaj is going to publish. It just goes to show you that even great souls like Bhaktisiddhanta sometimes are veiled of past Jyotishta, past abilities that they had. But the most important thing is not to get caught up in do's and don'ts to the extent that you forget Krishna. This is what Raghunath Das is stressing. If you think of Krishna and you want to do what is best for Krishna, Krishna will give you the brains. Dadami buri yogam tam, inamama payandite. He'll give you the brains. Interestingly, in that shloka, chapter 10, verse 10, Srila Prabhupada comments, if a sincere person due to somehow or another, does not study all the shastras excruciatingly, exhaustively, and does not have extensive association, perhaps, with the spiritual master or saintly persons, then Krishna, within the heart, gives certain guidance to that devotee as Chaitanya Guru so that the devotee may come to him. So this is what Raghunath Das Goswami is referring to. If you focus on how to please Radha Krishna, how to please Gornatai, how to please Krishna, how to please the spiritual master, then Krishna gives you the brains, how to act, how to not act, to accept, to discriminate what is favorable, what is not favorable. And if it's wrong, then Krishna will show you. If you're sincere, Krishna will demonstrate to you today or tomorrow or down the line how you need to change. And the devotee, if your devotee is humble, he will accept it. An example of that was, for example, once when some new bhakta criticized Satsvarupa Maharaj for his japa, he did not know his seniority and his proximity to Prabhupada, etc., etc. The boy was a new boy. But Satsvarupa Maharaj, in his humility, did not chastise the boy, thinking him to be foolish or extraordinarily crazy or whatever it was. He simply took it as Krishna's arrangement. And he simply took it as Krishna's arrangement. And then he, the japa reform notebook came out about it. So even if somebody's on your case, then you take it for purification. Krishna has come today to show me how to do it properly. So don't. It is both. You watch out for mistakes. You should apprise yourself of the proper modes of behavior as a devotee. But rules and regulations of smarta vichar need not worry a devotee. If his spiritual master or the previous acharyas did not stress it, then one need not adopt it. Adopting it, if it is anukul for Krishna, it may be accepted. Like, for example, Chaturmasya Vrata, Ekadasi Vrata, our Guru Maharaj did not stress the strict aspect of it because Westerners have a hard enough time finishing their rounds and preaching and doing some service and staying afloat. However, he did not forbid it if devotees wanted to adopt additional rules and regulations in a devotional mood. Austerity should not be accepted if the heart remains hard. That's the point. The heart should remain soft for devotion to Krishna. So, this is the idea. Don't become attracted to Dharma, not Dharma, but be attracted to Radha Krishna. That's the point. And accept whatever Dharma and Adharma, as I quoted yesterday from Swaniyam Advadasakam, that is conducive to maintain body and soul together and push you toward the goal of Prema Bhakti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. That Dharma you accept. That occupation you accept for maintaining the body and soul together. It's a very good verse, incidentally. For those of you who like to appreciate this, verse number 2, that verse of Swaniyam Advadasakam fourth verse, I believe. Navarnir Shaktir me nakalo mamata yasrama vido nadarame na darame mama materihas take vachirapi parang tat tat darame mama jada sariram atritamidam atho daraman saravan subhajana sahaya habilase. He says, I am not attached to any particular varna or occupation, an ashram, or any particular mode of religion or irreligion. That particular materialistic modes of religion or irreligion, I will accept that occupational duty or religious principle as superior, which can maintain my material body, my external material body, favorably for Krishna's service. Which is good for Krishna's service. Subhajana sahayam abhilase. Then I'll practice that type of dharma, which is favorable. So in this connection now, when I was going to describe more about, in this connection about dharma, I'll read from in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the third Adi 3, about which is the same chapter describing the external reasons for Gauranga's appearance. It mentions in Adi Leela chapter 4, verse 33, Vrajera Nirmama Raga Shuni Bhaktagan Raga Marage Bhaje Jaina Chari Dharma Karm. Then by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Vraja, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals religiosity and fruitive activity. This internal reason, this is actually the internal reasons why Gauranga appeared. External reason is to display devotional service as a devotee, to teach devotees by his example and to spread Harinam, and to uplift the fallen conditioned souls and liberate them. This is the external reasons. And the internal reasons are this. What is one of the external reasons? Purport. Many realized souls such as Raghunath Das Goswami have recommended with great emphasis that one develop spontaneous love of Godhead, even at the risk of transgressing all the traditional codes of morality and religiosity. This is Prabhupada's purport. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has written in his prayers called Mana Shiksha that one should simply worship Radha and Krishna with all attention. Na dharamam, na dharamam, ashruti gana niluktanga kela kuru. One should not be much interested in performing Vedic rituals or simply following rules and regulations. Now, I remember in my early days as a pujari, in 1978, one co-pujari of mine said, look, I don't know what I'm getting out of this puja. I just find myself just a twirling incense, you know. I'm not getting much rasa, much juice. And I noticed that sometimes one can see things externally. But when I started to sing bhajans glorifying the Lord's activities, Lord's pastimes and activities, while I was worshiping the Lord, it became so much sweeter. It was offering, these prayers were also flowers, these songs were also flowers offered at the Lord's feet. It became another upachara. And I did not worry that I was chanting the mula mantras or not. Sometimes the mula mantras were chanted in the mind. They said, how can you chant the mula mantras when you're offering each upachara item to the Lord if you're singing the bhajan? I mean, the singing the bhajan to please the Lord's ears is much more important than the ritualistic aspect of chanting the mula mantra. Which is, the mula mantra is for the pujari, not for the deity. The mula mantra is to inform the pujari, remind the pujari, yeah, I'm offering this to you like this, my Lord. No, I'm offering this to you like that. And I'm offering you to this like that. It's to remind the pujari. Lord already can see what you're offering. It's to remind the pujari, yeah, I should take care because I'm offering it to the Lord like this. Yes, my Lord is so wonderful. Let me offer. The mula mantra is for those in kanistha adhikaris who need those rules and regulations to keep his mind focused on the deity. After you've already loved the deity, then sing the glories of the deity for their pleasure. And that singing will please the deity. That is the real mula mantra in that sense. Not that the mula mantras are useless. They are applicable. They are helpful. So, the important thing is to love the deity. The best course is to always engage in the service of Lord Krishna and Radharani, the perfection of everything in this life. And Prabhupada quotes Narada Muni in fourth. Then it's also mentioned in Madhya Lila 8:64. It says here, in this connection, Raghunath Das Goswami instructs us in his mind, Mana Shiksha. He is thus enjoined that we should not perform religious or irreligious activities as prescribed in the Vedas. The best course to engage joy is in the service of Lord Krishna and Radharani. It's perfection of everything in life. And he quotes Narada Muni, when one actually takes the loving service of the Supreme Personality of God and he gives up all dual duties in the material world as well as all duties prescribed by the Vedic literatures. This way one is fixed in the service of the Lord. It means one may give up one's normal prescribed duties for a higher purpose of serving the Lord. This is why the brahmacharis, four kumaras, refused their order of their father to get married, for example, for a higher purpose of transcendental knowledge. You may do so. Now, in this connection, dharma and adharma rejected. In Adi Lila chapter 361, it mentions, bhaktira virodhi karma dharma na, dharma va adharma tahara kalamasa nama se mahatamma. The greatest ignorance consists of activities, whether religious or irreligious, that are opposed to devotional service. They're to be known as sins, kalmasa. Now, interesting, this word kalmasa. The holy name of Krishna destroys all these sins, kalmasa. It's glorified in the Kali Santaran Upanishad. Though to cross over the ocean of Kali, chanting the holy name clears. There's a beautiful verse in Padyavali. Kalyananam nidanam. Kali mata mata nama pavanama pavananam patayama yadama mukshus sabadi pada pada prapyate approachamanam vishvamastanam ekam kavi varavaja samajivanam asajjananam bijama dharama drumasya prabhavatu bhavata bhutaye krishna nama. Great verse. about the glories of the holy name of Krishna. So this Kalyananam Nidanam, the seed of all auspiciousness, Kali Mata Pavanam, it destroys the Kalmasa, the sins of Kali Yuga. Kalimala, the mala, the dirty things, Kalmasa of Kali Yuga. Pateyama Yadama Mukshu, and it is the one path for the liberated persons. Sabadi Pada Pada Prapyate Aprochamana, because it gives one entrance into the spiritual world. Great. And Vishvamastanama Ekam, and it's the one resting garden of all the poets, Kavi Varavajasam, Jivanam, Asajjananam, and it's the life of all great truthful devotees. Bijam Dharma Dharmasya, and it's the seed of the tree of devotional service, of religious principles. May that holy name of Krishna become wonderfully manifest to you all. It's an ecstatic verse in Padyavali about the holy name. So, Kali Kalmasa. Kalmasa, the dirty things of the heart, is destroyed. Greatest ignorance is activities that are opposed to devotional service. This is Kalmasa. This is ignorance. Now, in the next verse says, Bahutuli Hari Bali Prema Drishta Yecha Kariya Kalamasa Nashta Premete Bashaya. Raising his arms, chanting the holy name, and looking upon all with deep love, Lord Chaitanya drives away all sins and floods everyone with love of Godhead. Next, the next verse. Smita Loka Shokama Harati Jagatama Yasya Parito Kiram Tu Prarana Bha Kushala Patalam Palaya Vayati Padalam Bha Kingava Panayati Nahi Prema Nivaham Sadeva Chaitanya Kritar Aditaram Nakrapayatu. This verse is from Dvitiya Chaitanyastakam of Rupa. It's interesting. May the Supreme Personality of God in the form of Lord Chaitanya bestow His causeless mercy upon us. His smiling glance at once drives away all bereavements of the world, and His very words enliven the auspicious creepers of devotion by expanding their leaves. Taking shelter of His lotus feet invokes transcendental love of God at once. So Prabhupada quotes it. This is in the Vitya Chaitanyastaka. It's very ecstatic. Benediction verses of Lord. So because this verse number 2 is focusing on Lord Chaitanya also. How to regard Lord Chaitanya? Sachi Suranor Nandishwara Pati Sutatve Guru Vanang. It's therefore I mentioned it. It's this last verse. It's very ecstatic. So that's the ecstatic thing there that I wanted to read to you. That's from Prabhupada's books, all about the nectar of this verse too. Now the next thing is Sachi Surnor Nandishwara Pati Sutatve Guru Vadam Mukunda Prashta Tve Smara Paramajashramananumana. One should see how the spiritual master is Mukunda Prishta, very dear to Lord Mukunda in this world. If a disciple should not only externally appreciate how the spiritual master is thinking of Krishna, but actually he should see it with his own eyes. He should actually visually see it with his own eyes. The Gayatri mantra that is given to the disciple at the time of the spiritual master noticing the brahminical inclinations and qualities of the disciple, irregardless of where he was born. The Gayatri, Guru Gayatri, focuses the living energy to meditate on the spiritual master and his happiness of worshipping Krishna. And by meditating on that, we become enlivened also. So, if you want to maintain your Shraddha, the instructions of the spiritual masters, the previous acharyas, are the enthusiasm, our rasa, our elixir, our nectar that we need to drink daily, and specifically instructions that are relevant to our own life. If one sets a challenge for oneself in terms of remembering the instructions of the previous acharyas, these things remain fresh in the mind. Memorization is a very wonderful thing. It should never be discounted, because by it, the living entity always puts up a challenge for himself to remember more and more transcendental instructions. Now, you cannot force yourself to memorize something dry. or simply because it is popular. That is not the thing. Because it is popular or wonderful. One has to experience how you can use something, how it's relevant for you. How you can use something like that. It's very personal. Only later on you can memorize something because it's good for the public. But in the meantime, first of all, people are generally selfishly motivated. Sakam karma bhaktas. They want to do something for themselves and they'll give a little fruit to Krishna. So even in terms of hearing and chanting, focused hearing and chanting means you're hearing and chanting which is especially relevant for you. For your advancement. Some nectar that you like. Some nectar you can use. Or if you're struggling with some anarthas, something you can use to combat it, to preach to your own mind. When you need it. Like that. But so, by remembering the instructions of your spiritual masters, or your spiritual master directly, it helps you to remember how selfless the spiritual master is in traveling and trying to uplift other souls, and how he's doing Lord Mukunda's service. Lord Mukunda descends externally to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants and distribute bhakti. That's the external reason. But actually Mukunda, whose face is as beautiful as a lotus flower, descends to liberate so many different souls who will associate with his eternally liberated souls. He attracts conditioned souls in the material world by his sweet beauty and his extraordinary sweet pastimes, which he displays of loving dealings with his devotees, which attract other people to follow them. So this way, Lord Mukunda, whose face is as beautiful as a kunda flower, liberates living entities by having his associates train them up and carry them. He's more interested in playful pastimes in Vrindavan. Killing the demons, etc., is a consequential, you know, it's a side affair done by the arrangement of Yogamaya and manifested through the Vishnu potency of the Supreme Lord. It's a side issue. Sporting with his devotees is a real issue. That's what this verse is mentioned about. Focus on Radha Krishna, then focus on Lord Chaitanya. How does Lord Chaitanya love Radha Krishna? What was his ecstasies in Chaitanya Charitamrita of loving Radha Krishna? What was his example? How has Lord Chaitanya set the standard for us? See, these three, all things that are in a row, don't become confused of what to do and what not to do. Instead of becoming confused, focused on Lord Chaitanya. Focus on your spiritual master. Focus on the disciple succession. Focus on nectar that is relevant for you, specifically relevant for you. And remember how the spiritual master is serving Lord Chaitanya and how he's in ecstatic mood and worshiping Krishna. One should see that with his own eyes. By seeing that, you get the faith that if I simply follow in his footsteps and apply, I can hope to obtain Guru Maharaj's mercy, and a drop, a ray of that attachment will also enter my heart and I'll be able to do it. Following in the footsteps of Guru Maharaj will also do it. So whoever your gurus are, Diksha or Shiksha Guru, the disciple should witness it with his own eyes. How the spiritual master is in ecstasy in worshipping Krishna. How, by reading Lord Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavad, how Lord Chaitanya, non different from the son of Nanda, how he manifested himself as the son of Nanda whenever the need arose, or was always in transcendental separation from the son of Nanda in the mood of Radhika. How? Because without serving the six Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur says, you cannot enter into Radha Krishna worship. Cannot enter into it. So it's all correlated. Mukunda Prashta, the spiritual masters, how they're actually Krishna has come again in the form, in this available form, to give me training, to give me association, to uplift me and carry me to Krishna. Krishna has manifested himself in the form of this greatly merciful devotee. Who is attached to Krishna and demonstrates attachment to Krishna. Who is attached to Lord Chaitanya and demonstrates attachment to Lord Chaitanya. And who enlivened us to think of Lord Chaitanya. See? So it all starts there. And whom, without whose mercy, I cannot approach Lord Chaitanya or Radha Krishna. So it's important to meditate on the spiritual master. So the verse number 2 is very relevant. Now let's continue on. Any questions now about number 2? Is that clear now? Before we go on to number 3? All right, let's chant. Now, let's chant the bhajan for number three. Raga dvesi braja dhamma basi jadi te birakama. This is three tall. Raga dvesi braja dhamma bajai dasi te birakama. Taketa varhidaya bitore. Taketa varhidaya bitore. Radha Krishna lila rasa paricharja sulalasa. How jadi nitantayantare? Bole tabe suno mama mana. Bhajana chaturo vara Sri Sarupa Dhamodara. Prabhu Seva Jahara Jivana. Sagana Sri Rupa Jini Rasa Tattva Jnana Mani. Lila Tattva Ye Kaila Prakasha. Lila Tattva Jai Kaila Prakasha. Tahara Agraja Bhai Jahara Samana Nai. Tahara Agraja Bhai Jahara Samana Nai. Banila Je Jugala Bilasa. Banila Je Jugala Bilasa. Se sabha mahajane spashta prema vigyapane. Se sabha mahajane spashta prema vigyapane. Smara mana tumi nirantara. Smara mana tumi nirantara. Bhagati vinodanati mahajana gana prati. Vigyapito koro ho satvara. Raga dvesi braja dhamma vasi jadi te birakama. Take tava hridaya bitore. Take tava hridaya bitore. If residing in Vrajadham is your penetrating desire for getting deep attachment, then keep this in your heart constantly. Radha Krishna's pastime sweet, serving eagerly at their feet, if that is felt intimately within, then listen, my mind, my words to you, a very expert servitor of worship. Sri Swarupa Damodara, Mahaprabhu's service was his very life. Together with Srila Rupa, mind, the jewel knowledge of rasa truths, and they revealed the essence of the science of love. Sri Rupa's elder brother, equal to none other, so described the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. All these magnificent ones submissively realized, described, and manifested prema. Oh mind, you remember this unendingly. Bhaktivinoda's obeisances to these Vaishnavas and Mahajanas, let me preach your path speedily. So, yadi chera vasanga vraja bhuvi sada ganga prati junu yuvadvan vamataj chet aparachara tamara adabila se swarupanga sri rupanga sagana mihata syagrajamapi sputama premana nityama smara namatada tvamashunumana. So, my dear mind, if you're eager to reside in Vrajadham and execute devotional service on the platform of ragatmika bhakti, as well as to yearn for direct service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, then simply desire to remember and worship birth after birth the lotus feet of Sri Swarup Damodar, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami, and all the other associates of Sri Chaitanya, recipients of his mercy. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Surupaya Rupano Gavaraya Te Mande Rupa Sanatana Raguya Go Sri Jiva Gopala Go Mande Ramana Reti Prasiddha Bhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supada Mule Gyanam Paramparamai Krishna Satarama Chukatama Dandastu Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste. So, here in this wonderful verse, the connection, after having invited the devotees to focus on Radha Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, and the spiritual master who is dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu focus on Radha Krishna, then we see that in verse 3, Raghunath Das Goswami does what he's asking everyone to do. He's inviting everyone to take shelter of Swarup Damodar, his spiritual master. And when he was in Braja, then he took shelter under Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. He performed bhajan with them. He enlivened them also by discussing Gauranga Katha every day for like 3 hours a day. He was discussing Gauranga Katha personally, reading from his diaries, discussing Katha that he personally witnessed. And the friendship the six Goswamis had together was very absorbing. Like I mentioned briefly before, how sometimes Rupa Goswami would give literatures to Raghunath Das, like for example, when he gave the Don Keeley Comedy to Raghunath to read. By that, Raghunath Das Goswami wrote the Don Keeley Chintamani, etc. So sometimes they read each other's books, even though they were writing them. So Raghunath Das Goswami considers himself to be the follower of Rupa. So he's inviting everyone, if you want to reside in Brajadam and execute devotional service on the platform of spontaneous affection. Raga Atmika. Raga is the platform of attachment. There are mundane raga and there is spiritual raga. Mundane raga is mundane attachments, and raga means attachment. But this raga is not ordinary mundane attachment, because living in the Dham, one should throw away all bad habits and all bad activities. Reject them as insignificant. So this raga is spiritual raga, spiritual attachment. And atmika means of the self, which means it is characteristic of their self. This attachment to Krishna is so deep that it goes beyond just the self. The mood of the gopis and the gopas and the other vrijavasis in Vrindavan is that they love each other more than their life force. Srimati Radhika is more dear to the other devotees, much more, many times more dear than their own life. It mentions that Mother Jasoda is prepared to give her life many, many times over to try to save Krishna from a single drop of perspiration. According to Raghunath Das Goswami in his Vrajavilasa Stava. So this is Raga Atmika. Their life force is transcendentally intermingled with attachment to Krishna at every moment. They're constantly absorbed in Krishna, thinking of Krishna. They have no other outside interest. Although externally they may appear to talk ordinary or like this, or even in different chapters, Radharani will tell her friends that it is useless to talk about this fellow. Let us talk about something else. But even though we would like to talk about something else, we're unable to do so. they comment. Because it is Raga Admika. They are the eternal associates of the Lord. It is impossible for them to focus. In the conditioned stage, we are not Raga Admikas. We will do what is called Raga Nuga. Anuga means to follow. We are following these eternal associates in their path of loving attachments, under the direction of the Rupa Goswami. So we're following his path, Anuga. Anuga means to follow the way he is going. Anuga. So Rupa Anuga means we're following the path chalked out by Rupa Goswami. And it's stated by Naratam, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Hoi Bi Akute Kabi Haba When I become enthusiastic to study the books given by the six Goswamis, then I'll understand what is really Radha Krishna worship. Otherwise, you cannot understand. So, he is saying, Swarupam Sri Rupam Saganami Hatas Yagarjamapi. Worshipping Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, as well as his elder brother Sanatan Goswami, and as all their associates with love. Means worshipping them with love means listening to their words, remembering their examples, specifically in their appearance and disappearance days, one may remember them and take advantage of their mercy directly. There on their appearance and disappearance days specifically. And for this purpose, different devotees in our sampradaya have written Suchaka bhajans, which are in the back of the Samadhi book by Mahaneri Maharaj. Different lamentation bhajans that, oh, if only I was so fortunate that I could actually be with and witness with my own eyes the wonder that was Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Lokanath Goswami Prabhu, etc. I'm so unfortunate that these are written by devotees that just missed their association. They just left the planet or something, and some devotees wrote these lamentation verses. After hearing their glories and reading their works, oh, how come I could not see them with my own eyes and see their ecstatic love for Krishna with their own eyes? Etc. There's one bhajan glorifying Jiva, Adimur Jivan Dan, describing the wonder that was Jiva. How Jiva at the age of 15 years old, after he finished his Sanskrit studies under Madhusudana Vichaspati, the elder brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Varanasi, finished his education and then he went to Vrindavan. He thought, first let me settle myself up in Sanskrit, then I'll be able to serve Rupa and Sanatan. When he did so, then he went. He walked on the way and he did not have any anxieties or any problems on the way. And although he was walking and walking, sometimes when you walk, not everybody will invite you. So sometimes you have to fast for a day or two, like that. Eat fruits, whatever you can obtain. And mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, like when Raghunath Das Goswami left his family, he did not go by the main road, thinking his father and uncle would grab him there. But he went by the forest. And when he went through the forest path, then he stayed in some goshala. And it mentions there the man who kept the cow said, oh, I can see you haven't eaten anything for 3 years. I can see you haven't eaten anything for 3 years, 3 days. So please take this milk. So it was not uncommon to walk for 3 days and sometimes fast. But in this bhajan it mentions Jiva Goswami, even though he was a young boy and he was constantly in ecstasy thinking, oh, how will I go and see Vrindavan Dham, and I'll see the Jamuna, and I'll see Govinda Ji, and I'll see Rupa and Sanatan. And his eyes were constantly flooded with tears as he was anticipating seeing them. So very difficult for him to concentrate on the path. His eyes were always flooded with tears. And even though he was such a small boy and had given up all type of ordinary comforts, still Krishna provided so many things along the way. And he did not have the slightest bit of difficulty. Whatever he needed was supplied by the Lord on the way, it was described. Finally, he entered the area of Vishram Ghat and saw Mathura. Oh, he started to cry, torrents of tears, seeing the beauty of Mathura, bathed in Vishram Ghat, and then proceeded to Vrindavan, and finally saw the lights, you know, of Govindaji, and like that, and went to Govindaji. Actually, he finished that temple. It was unfinished when Jiva Goswami finished the construction, actually. It was described of Govindaji temple. So, the unfinished construction he saw, and then he went there and he saw Rupa and Sanatan and surrendered to them. It mentions about her service attitude, etc., etc. These bhajans, written by intimate associates of the six Goswamis, shed light on the very nature of their bhajan. The reality of it was 400 years ago. What it was like, as well as their own writings. So by reading these, we get a little kira and a little ray of what their activities were. So we have to apply these. We cannot imitate it. Anukarana and anusarana. Anukarana is to imitate. That will cause destruction. But anusarana is to follow in the footprints to try to apply. Our Guru Maharaj mentioned that because I saw Rupa Goswami's samadhi, I was seeing his samadhi daily, and I was getting strength and enthusiasm by which I could go across the seas to America to start this movement. I got solid ideas, solid inspiration from seeing and viewing Rupa Goswami's samadhi. As if he was in direct communication with Rupa Goswami, thought processes, etc., by studying the works of the Goswamis, writing Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada got solid inspiration. So he said, you should worship, desire to remember and worship birth after birth the lotus feet of Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, other associates of Lord Chaitanya, recipients of his mercy. So for that reason, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitra Mahakavya, Chaitanya Mangal, etc. are all very dear to the devotees because one associates with the Lord and his associates through sound, through those literatures. And they teach us the platform of behavior and how to distinguish right and wrong and apply things in time, place, and circumstance. So it's very important. Next, covering the contents here. How is it possible to obtain ragatmika bhakti and reside in Braj if one's taken diction, received instruction from a disciplined succession other than the Gaudiya Sampradaya? Anybody can answer that? It's a question. Bhaktivinoda Thakur poses a question. Anybody have an answer to that?
I don't think it's possible.
The Goswamis were teaching with Lord Chaitanya Tat, so it'll be very difficult otherwise. Baladev Vidyabhushan is an example. He took his mantras and his sannyas in Madhvacharya Sampradaya from the Tattvavadis. But he associated with Radha Damodar Das and Jagannath Puri and read the Satchandarbhas. And by that he became attracted to Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. And by that he came to Vrindavan, took shelter of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and was trained in bhajan under him. He never renounced his mantras. He never renounced his sampradaya affiliation. He just simply studied the Satchandarbhas of Jiva Goswami and took shiksha and bhajan training under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is an example. And there undoubtedly must be many others. Example of this in ours, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur initiated one man that Vipin Mihari Goswami initiated, etc. He was Vaikanasa Maharaj. He was a very, very powerful Brahmana. And that Brahmana was very good in deity worship, Archana, and from South India, very, very powerful. Vaikanasa Maharaj trained many people in Archana and Puja, deity of installation, etc. He had received initiation previously from Vipin Vihari Goswami, and Bhaktisiddhanta initiated him and gave him sannyas also. And you might say that was another. There were other examples of some people that were born in Shiva Sampradayas, a few like that, and Bhaktisiddhanta, made them devotees. So, it happens. One of my godbrothers was worshipping Lord Shiva in Trinidad and Tobago, and he became a devotee. He was a complete Mayavadi in Atlanta, like that. But he became a devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada later on. So, just because one starts once propensities for devotional service in another school, it does not mean that one cannot join Lord Chaitanya's mission. One may, if one takes shelter and shiksha from devotees. Krishnadas Maharaj is another example in London. He received his initiation totally outside Gaudiya Sampradaya, but Prabhupada allowed him to render service in our movement. Prabhupada did not insist that he had to take his mantras again from him or anything like that. Prabhupada never insisted it. It's an example in our own movement. Yes, you can. The answer is definitely, yes, you can. If you take shelter in an association of great saintly persons within the Sampradaya, yes, definitely you can. Your heart can be filled up like the residents of Vrindavan, by being absorbed in the mood of the six Goswamis. Now, it mentions here about execution of goals of devotional service in three categories, sadhan bhakti, bhavan bhakti, and prema bhakti. Now, the famous thing he mentions is the famous verse, shraddha to prema, ado Shada atha sarasanga tapajana kriya tato narto nivritti syat atha nishtas ruchistata atha shaktistato bhava tatha premam buranjati sarakama ayam premna prabhurbhave pavetakramam. Mentions that verse about in the beginning up to prema bhakti. It mentions clearly. That's a nice verse. Everybody knows that. So that's not, isn't it? That's not surprising that Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes this. That for verse number 3, about first performing positive activities, faith that Krishna exists, God exists, association with devotees, taking shiksha, taking mantras, then like that. Then removal of anarthas, becoming fixed, then attaining ruchi, then attaining ashakti, then attaining bhava, and then attaining prema. The process of shraddha to prema. Then he describes vaidhi sadhana bhakti and raga bhakti. He describes it twice. It's quite nice. Prabhupada mentions about that. You do things in the beginning by the orders of the spiritual master, but later on, if you do it out of pleasure, for the pleasure of Krishna, and maintain that steadiness. Oh, Krishna is so beautiful, so wonderful. Let me get up and go see him, talk with him, give him something for Mangalarti, like that. See his beauty, drink the beauty of his simple outfit, the intimacy of his simple outfit, etc. By seeing him, your whole day becomes Mangal. So if you wake up with a sense of eagerness, then you are making advancement. Prabhupada mentions. And if you feel that, oh, I'm too sick, I'm too sorry, looking for excuses, and don't go, then you're regressing. Then you're regressing. One does it first out of the order of the spiritual master. Bhakti Siddhanta, that would ring the bell in the morning. Sometimes Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would look around the mud and see people. Don't sleep after the bell has been rung. Get up. The spiritual master would walk around to make sure. He was so affectionate for his brahmacharis, it was described that sometimes at night, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, he would slip into the brahmachari ashram area where the brahmacharis were. And he could, if he saw that a brahmachari didn't have his mosquito net on, then he would pull up the mosquito net around that brahmachari just to protect the brahmachari from getting sick. Can you imagine that? Your spiritual master walking in your room in the middle of the night, 10 o'clock, just to check and make sure whether you put your mosquito net up or not. How the brahmacharis are doing. What kind of affection is that? Astounding, isn't it? Extraordinary. Extraordinary. So these are the dealings. The disciple has surrendered to the spiritual master, but the spiritual master is always conscious of the love and affectionate care. I remember my godbrother Ekanath in Bombay also, once he stubbed his toe, wrapped his toe with a big bandage. Prabhupada pointed at it to his cane. So? You're doing something for that? Don't neglect your health, you know. You're taking, are you all right? You're taking care of that? Yeah. Prabhupada was not eating prasadam for 6 weeks, 6 months practically in Vrindavan. Yet he was very concerned that the scientists were coming to hear the seminars with Dr. Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami. So they got prasad. The prasad was nice. They liked it. Like that. Prabhupada was not eating prasad himself for 6 months, yet he was curious. How are the devotees? He was calling Akshayananda. So, all the devotees in the temple, they're getting nice prasadam. They're happy? Huh? The guests are happy? Everyone's getting nice prasadam? I found out that one friend of Prabhupada also, even though he's now 86 or so, whenever you visited his mutt, they always treated you as like a, such a nice guest. Oh, so you got prasad? No, they always... He was personally asking. You would think his sannyasis or his brahmacharis would ask. He personally asked. He personally asked. So, you're all right? You're happy? You have enough facility? You got prasad? Everything's okay? Anything else we can do to serve you? Personally. The acharya of the institution. The head. Prisoner's got 600, 700, you know, 1,000 disciples. Personally. He was asking. He was asking. And his sannyasis, everybody, they would think, oh, Guru Maharaj, you don't have to ask, I'll ask. No, he was teaching them. How to take care of a guest. How to take care of a guest. So our Guru Maharaj did that by his own example. He took care of people very personally. He was very warm and personal. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did it. It's an example. It's an example for us. So, doing something on the rules and regulations, the spiritual master will check the disciple whether they're following the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti, getting up, doing things. He will, but not only will he ride the case of the disciple, but he will also and pull up those disciples who were errant. But he was very affectionate like a father. So much so that he did not like other disciples sometimes chastising each other, rebuking each other. Once there was a story. One disciple, he was the temple commander, and some devotee did some nonsense. So, then there was a commotion, you know. The temple commander was chastising the boy. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur heard it, looked over the balcony and said, "So what is going on? Guru Maharaj, he has done this." "Oh, really? He has done that? Seto karer balo na. You should not have done that. That is not good." Then he turned to the temple commander and said, "It is unfortunate. He has done this. It is sad. But you have allowed yourself to be drawn into it. So you were also unfortunate. Both of you are unfortunate." So in this way, constructive criticism is one thing, but intensely getting on somebody's case, so much so that they lose the understanding why I'm doing something wrong and why it's good to do it good. Or some, just out of affection, reciprocation for the affection they got from their spiritual masters, enough to keep them in line. That's the idea. Affection, strong affection, and a good example, a good personal example, go much more farther than rebuking somebody who was not up to the mark in Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhana. Demonstrate to them, show the ecstasy of performing the rules and regulations nicely. And by doing so, Prabhupada comments in 1972 Nectar Devotion Series, first everyone starts out in Vaidhi Bhakti. Then as you become purified by the rules and regulations of devotional service mentioned in Nectar Devotion, then as you become attracted to Krishna's Madhurya, you will do so automatically. You will rise up early in the morning and go automatically. Automatically you will preach. Automatically you will do things. Just for the sake of the happiness of the spiritual master. Just for the sake of the happiness of Krishna. Just for the sake of the pleasure of the devotee. Because this is how you become Raga Atmika. Love Krishna and the devotees more than your own life force. Until you get to that platform where you will love the other another devotee more than your own sense gratification. Or you will love Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, the spiritual master, more than your own life force. Until you get to that platform, you cannot go to Goloka. You cannot be admitted into Krishna's pastimes. Until you develop that same mood. Therefore, deserve then desire. This is why when that godbrother asked Prabhupada, that kalam nayera kilamidyi padesha sharam in the 8th verse. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we think of Krishna 24 hours a day following in the footsteps of the ragatmika devotees, nitya siddha parshadas, Krishna's eternal associates? Have you followed the first verses? Have you followed the second verse, third verse, fourth verse? How to love the God brothers? How to love the devotees? How to love them more than your own life force? How to worship the devotees? The ordinary people become a madhyamanikari by, as the first verse, fifth verse says, how to not find fault with your spiritual authorities, your spiritual masters, etc. How to see them to be divine. How to have real nam ruchi, nam bhajan, in the seventh verse. Free from flickering of the mind up and down. Then you can think of number 8, after following 1 through 7, diligently. So, Vaidhi Bhakti, but if you do it properly, then naturally, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kamunai Shavanadi Suddha Chitta Karayudoy. Love of Krishna is dormant within the living heart of every living entity. By hearing and chanting slowly and engaging in positive devotional service in the company of devotees, the sun of love of Godhead rises. Slowly. Progressively. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Chaitanya Shikshamrita that one should see from Ekadasi to Ekadasi, make verifiable short-term plans for your self-realization. It's not that automatically. Not automatically will you go from Vaidhi Bhakti to Raga. if you're performing properly, if you're setting a challenge for yourself, if you're eager to hear and chant about Krishna and get better association, and you avoid the mistakes in devotional service, then yes, everybody will make advancement. The heart will soften. Krishna will attract one. But there are devotees in South India and other sampradayas that they never give up raga. I mean, they never give up vaidhi. But there is, amongst those in vaidhi sadhana bhakti, there is also prema bhakti even there. In Kanchipuram, one friend of Ramanujacharya was speaking personally to Varadaraja as he was fanning the Lord. He was in Gaurava Dasya, in reverential service attitude, but he was still talking with the Lord. And the Lord was talking to him and answering his questions and everything as he was fanning the Lord. So even in Vaidhi Marga, where you're attached to the opulence of the Lord's worship, following rules and regulations, there is spontaneity. There is raga. There is attachment. There is prema bhakti also available for them, for those who will go to Vaikuntham. But as the next verse says, if you want to serve in the mood and develop real attachment, then ultimately you have to go toward raga marga. Ultimately. But that comes only after anarthana vritti. Prabhupada mentions that in Nectar Devotion Tapes, that after clearing out all the unwanted things from the heart, then the living entity gets the adhikar to, and the, not only the adhikar, but the inclination also is there. Desires. If the spiritual master will allow one to read confidential literature, the spiritual master will allow one when he sees the disciple is qualified. Otherwise, even Bhakti Siddhanta, I mentioned it also already, those who were not qualified, Bhakti Siddhanta gave them person-specific instructions to avoid certain confidential literatures they were not fit for. What this means then is that the disciple should have a significant amount of personal association with their spiritual master. So by which the spiritual master should regularly get reports from the disciple, from those who serve his disciples, who train them, so that the spiritual master may be able to ascertain the gradual advancement or difficulties of the disciple. First anarthana vritti, then artha pravritti. So if you're eager, I would like to live in Vrindavan. How would I like to think of Radha and Krishna 24 hours a day? Then deserve it by following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, applying devotional life practically with affection and diligence. Then slowly it will happen. So then Raganuga Bhakti is the loving sentiments that are perfectly manifest in the eternal residence are known as Ragadmika Bhakti. To discuss Raganuga Bhakti, it's necessary to analyze Ragadmika Bhakti first. Natural and intense loving absorption in an unquenchable search for the contact with the most developed object, Lord Krishna, is called Raga. Devotional service embellished by Raga is called Ragadmika, which is of two types, Kama Rupa and Sambandha Rupa. Now, these are devotees who are naturally absorbed in love for Krishna. They don't need to know or care to know that He is God. Like Yasoda. Yasoda, coward boys, gopis, they don't need to know that He's God. Their love for Krishna is spontaneous. Special category. For us, we need to know how God is present everywhere. I remember in 1973, how Guru Maharaj Prabhupada mentions it on the tape, that everybody is so attracted to distribute paintings of gopis, Krishna dancing with gopis, as if Krishna is some loose boy dancing with so many girls. He said, that's not wanted. For the public, we need to see how Krishna has expanded everywhere, controlling everything. So my sannyasi friend, Vishnu Janaswami, became very enlivened by that statement, because we were traveling to state fairs, selling Indian clothes, Senate oils, incense, books, to mostly the hippie type of people, you know, young hippie type people that came to such places. So then we thought, yeah, they may misconstrue Radha and Krishna to be some lusty boy, some lusty girl like me and my boyfriend. So better we blow their mind, you know. He got posters, Universal Forum posters. He ordered about 200 of them or something like that. I remember we were distributing those posters. Spiritual Sky, I mean the Universal Forum posters. How God has expanded everywhere, controlling everything. And when they asked for other posters, sorry, this is the only one we got in stock. In those days, whatever Prabhupada said, whether it was tape or whether it was by here or by letter, devotees had the tendency to just follow it by law. Not only Prabhupada, but even all the other sannyasis as well. And that was the old days. So, natural, intense loving absorption and questionable thirst for contact with a loving, worshipable object is called raga. Krishna is known as Kanu. Kana means overflowing with happiness. And ooh means he is so tricky. He is so cunning. Sometimes he does things that give us pain. Steals our butter, chastises us, pinches the cheeks of our children, runs away, leaving his butter-smeared footprints all over my house, breaks my pots of yogurt. And then when we catch him, he says, everything belongs to me, and yet you call me a thief? Everything in this village belongs to me, and yet you call me a thief? Krishna, he says so many witty things that causes pain to the ears of the gopis. Externally, they show pain, but internally, they're enjoying it. They're enjoying the attention. So even when they become the butt of jokes, so externally they suffer humiliation, but Krishna will enjoy at the expense of their humiliation. Yet still, even though in normal circumstances, anybody would try to think, maybe this person doesn't love me because they're always trying to humiliate me. Still, they can never give up Krishna. Therefore, he is known as Kanu. He's very tricky. He's very sly, cunning, biting, sometimes even hurting by his statements, by his crafty statements. It causes us pain. But he is so sweet, so beautiful, so wonderful, so irresistible, we can never keep our eyes off him. Radharani said, better not to think of Krishna, think of something else. But we cannot do that. He is known as Kanu. So, they don't care to know that he is God, but they love him spontaneously. Let me suffer, but let him enjoy. This is Radharani's mood. Therefore, she is the best of worshippers. The best of worshippers. So that is the different ones. Now there's two kinds. One is called Kama Rupa, amorous, and Sambandha Rupa, relational. Kama Rupa is Parakya. The mood that I have another husband, I'm desirous of associating with Krishna, but maybe it's not proper. So there is a hesitancy. There's the shyness. The gopis have to overcome that hesitancy to go to Krishna. That is called Kama Rupa. The form of it is powered by an unextinguishable desire to obtain Krishna's association somehow or another. Burning, intensely unsatiable desire to be with Krishna. This is called Kamana Rupa. Kama Rupa. Form of intense burning desire, unsatiable. Then the other one is Sambandhanuga. Sambandhanuga is Krishna's relative. Relationship is there by relative. Relationship is there because they're a gawala, as they say in Hindi. Village inhabitant. This person has relationship to me and my family because they have taken birth in the same village. Or we're from the same caste. We're all coward men. This is the idea, the ekajatiya amongst the coward boys. We're all from the same village. We're all from the same caste. We all have cows. We're of the same age. We have the same attributes. We're all very equal. So we fight, sport, play as equals. And just because you have a few more cows than we do gives you no right to change the rules of the game. And if you want to change the rules of the game, we will go to Mother Jasoda and complain. Just because you have a few more cows than us gives you no right to change the rules. This is called Sambandhanuga. We have relationship. on the basis of my relationship, we speak to you. Very straightforward. Not necessarily always sweet. And Krishna surrenders. There's pastime written in Sur Sagar where it mentions about this, that Sri Dama defeated Krishna, and Krishna had to become the horse, but he didn't want to. And Sri Dama became very angry and blasted Krishna. He said, look, we're from the same village, we're from the same caste, and we don't stay in your house, neither are we completely dependent upon you, and you have no right to change the rules just because you have a few more cows than us. If you are going to insist on this, we will not play with you from tomorrow, and we will tell Mother Jasoda. Now Krishna became very thoughtful, because he does not fear anything in this world except fear personified is afraid of him, but he is afraid of Mother Jasoda. So becoming very thoughtful, Krishna thought very carefully and said, all right, in the name of my father, he took a promise, a vow in the name of Nanda Maharaj, his father, that I consider the truthfulness of my words, because I'm taking a vow now in the name of my father, Nanda Maharaj, that, all right, I'll become the horse. He surrendered to Sri Dama. All right, I'll become the horse. Don't complain to my mother. I like you. I'm attached to you. I want to play with you tomorrow. All right, I'll become the horse. And then they quote Sri Dama's next statement is, and if you don't like it, you can take your cows and go anywhere else. You know, take your cows and go somewhere else. Krishna is so attached to playing with his friends. When they threaten him, when they chastise him, then Krishna listens. Sometimes Krishna, the gopis rebuke Krishna. Krishna is saying these so heavy words. We will complain to Mother Kamsa, to King Kamsa. Krishna says, I don't care for King Kamsa. We'll kill him and throw his head in the, you know, in the street. We'll go complain to Mother Jasoda. We'll go complain to Nanda Maharaj. Then Krishna starts to think. Still externally Krishna will. Internally they're relishing like anything, but externally they say, Krishna, if you don't give us our clothes back, we are going to complain to King Kamsa. We will complain to Mother Jasoda. Give us our clothes back. So, Krishna does these things. Sambandha, you were our village man. Why did you steal our clothes? Give us our clothes back. You were our village man. They were moved by desire of Krishna's beauty, but also by sambandha, relationship. Sambandha rupa also means the relationship of the queens to Krishna. Krishna, we are princesses. Nobody will marry us. And you've come as our shining prince who was killed, Bhaumasura. And now please save our glory and our pride as Kshatriya princes. Please marry us all. Sambandha. Jambavati mentioned this on behalf of all the other queens. Krishna very kindly accepted all of us as his queen. And all we desired was simply to become his maidservant birth after birth, and he so kindly agreed to accept us as his queen. Sambandhanuga. Because of marriage, like this, sometimes out of relation. Relation to Krishna's father, relations to Krishna's, the Yadu dynasty, people would offer their daughters to Krishna. Sambandhanuga. So kama rupa is the gopi's desire to be with Krishna. Sambandhanuga generally means relationship, village relationship, or marriage relationship, family ties, the Yadu ties, etc., etc., Kshatriya ties, allies ties, military ties. When Krishna takes the form of Vasudeva, identifying himself with another mood, Vaibhava Prakash, meditating on the mood as a king in Dwarka. Then the queens and many other devotees in Dwarka had relationship. We are residents of Dwarka. We have relationship with our Lord. And they mentioned that. Trivishapanam abhidura deshanam darshanam. We're very happy to see you now coming back from Kurukshetra, because we know that even the great demigods can hardly see you. When we see your face smiling so nicely, looking upon us with love, we become very satisfied. Now we can look on your beauty, full of all sweetness. Sambandha. And they said, after that, the next thing they said, oh, for our benefit now, my dear king, you just become our friend, our master, our guru, our worshipable lover, our worshipable deity, father, everything. Our worshipable deity, by following in your footsteps, we become successful in all respects. This is Sambandhanuga. So this, I've described a little bit more about Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga. Any questions about that right now before we go on? By performing Vaidhi Bhakti, that's one of the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's descent. That simply by performing Vaidhi Bhakti, it does not augur well. My mind has not changed. My mind is not attracted to such a devotee. Therefore, I will take manifest myself as a devotee, Lord Krishna said, and taste this spontaneous devotional service by practicing it myself. Devotion in Vaidhi, following rules and regulations, does not attract me as much. It mentions that Priya Jadi Manakuri Korena Bartsan Vedistutti Hutti Hare Se Moraman. In these verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna mentions that when my beloved chastises me verbally, then her chastisements steal away my mind more than the reverent words of the Vedas. You see? So in other sampradayas, you may not get chance to understand raga, marga, the path of attachment that the six Goswamis are delivering. You can make advancement. I gave examples in Kanchipuram of prema in Vaidhi Marga, the person who was absorbed in Dasya. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu went to South India and stayed in Sri Rangam for 4 months, he was debating with Venkatabhata and his uncle, Gopal Guru. His uncle Gopal Guru. And showing mercy to Venkata's son, Gopal, young Gopal. Like that. Discussing about, if your Lord Vishnu is so great, how come his Lakshmi wants to, you know, perform tapasyas and enter into the rasa dance? How come? Gauranga Mahaprabhu was testing their devotion of Venkatabhata and their attachment for Ranganath and Vishnu forms. In this way, out of loving affection, they became attached to Lord Chaitanya. And Gopal Guru Goswami became Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad, even though he took his sannyas in Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya. That didn't stop him from giving up Sri Rangam in South India and coming all the way to Vrindavan and doing bhajan here. Even though he was a Sri Vaishnav sannyasi. He never gave up his Sri Vaishnav sannyas either. But he remained attached to Lord Chaitanya, attached to Radha Krishna. Lord Chaitanya did not insist that they give up their affiliation with their previous sampradaya. They just simply take up Vraj Bhakti. Like that. It's interesting. It's an interesting note. Now, in this, all devotees perform Vaidhi Bhakti, it mentions there, I quoted that. Remember I quoted that verse from Madhya Leela chapter 22, verse number 1, 54 through 56. Mahir antare ihara dvito sarana vaya saraka deya kore shavana kirtan mane nija siddha deya kore na bhavan ratri dvine kore braje krishna rasivan. Mentioned here, right here. Sadhakus who hanker while actually residing in Vraj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the how one goes from Vaidhi Bhakti to Raga. Gives the hint. Exactly, residing in Vraj, you become absorbed in remembering and meditating on pastimes of Krishna. Those of his confidential associates whose devotional sentiments one desires to emulate. By so doing, he becomes attached to the same devotional taste. Naturally. Naturally. Obviously. He should develop an attachment to constant hearing about these pastimes. Sadhakus who hanker after decorating their basic devotional mood with the spiritual sentiments of their favorite associates have to render service to Krishna by following in their footsteps. As a sadhaka, he renders service in his material body, and as a siddha, perfected soul, he renders service in a suitable spiritual form. Well known among knowledgeable persons that in Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service with hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna are being performed by devotees, both in Vaidhi Bhakti as well as in Raga Bhakti. Here's Shravanam and Kirtanam. It's an interesting point. There, it's an interesting point. Yeah, he describes about Baba Bhakti or Rati. This is after Anartha Navritti, incidentally, alright? So what's interesting here is that on this third shloka, is describing the inclination that a devotee has. When you see the perfection of your spiritual master eagerly becoming greedy for Krishna. One's advancement, Radharani says in this Ananda Vrindavan Champu, one can understand one's attachment for Krishna when one is no longer interested in the affairs of the material world and has developed a greed to obtain Krishna. One's spiritual advancement can be understood according to the degree of greed for Krishna. She says, although you may find yourself unqualified for such greed, but the greed to obtain Krishna remains. This greed, to propagate the greed of Krishna, is called Krishna consciousness. The term Krishna consciousness Prabhupada got from that verse of Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna Bhakti Rasabhavitamati Akriyatam Yadikatopi Labhyate Tatra Loliyam Abhimuliyam Ekalama Janamakoti Sukratir Nanabhyate. If you find Krishna Bhakti available in the marketplace, then go and buy it. Buy it at any price. That eagerness to obtain it is the price you have to pay for it. And otherwise, externally dragging yourself, you know, ritualistically. Janmakoti Sukratir Nalabhyate. You can do external service for millions of years, you'll not get it. You'll miss the boat. So excessive greed to get Krishna. Although, Radharani says, you may think yourself unqualified for that greed, nevertheless, the greed to get Krishna remains. That's important. That's important to note that. And the greed should be there. Intense greed to get Krishna. So, that greed is, you have to see that greed. You have to associate with people that want that greed. And a disciple should see that greed in their spiritual master. And by studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see that greed in Gauranga. And you realize that, yes, there's no... So that's the goal. Let us become greedy for Krishna. Right? If you want to be greedy, then follow the six Goswamis. Rules and regulations. Prabhupada mentions in 1972, by hearing this nectar devotion, you are hearing from Rupa Goswami directly. And by serving their lotus feet, applying it, then you got the dust of their lotus feet. Application is everything. Now, if you cannot apply it, then maybe you're not ready for that platform. So therefore, deserve then desire. Take and become enthusiastic, memorize, hear and chant about aspects of devotional service that is presently relevant to your present stage of advancement. But at the same time, never become satisfied with your present level of advancement. You must always set a higher challenge for yourself. That's what you do from Akadasi to Akadasi. Set challenges for yourself. Make endeavors for your short-term spiritual advancement. It's concrete. In that statement, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given a very concrete proposal how to see whether you're making advancement or not. And in this stage, Prabhupada mentions that one should analyze, do I have the 26 qualities of a devotee? And if not, you should take reformation. This idea of Akadasi to Akadasi, making short-term plans, it's very tangible. This way you're setting a challenge for yourself. And your association should reflect that challenge. Your friendship with other devotees. Hearing and chanting in pairs and groups is very good. And hear and chant about the topics that is of immediate regard or immediate importance to you directly. Right now, where you're on now. That way you're memorizing and hearing and chanting about something that's very relevant. Same time you come across something ecstatic, put it somewhere else for later on. But one thing about Maya, when you're hearing it chanting, the tendency is that it's very interesting, it's very attractive, I'll memorize it later. And later never comes. Because you put it off indefinitely. You must kick yourself. Self-discipline means for a higher goal. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in the morning, you beat yourself with shoes 100 times. And in evening time with a broomstick 100 times. That's why shlokas like Manashikshara 4, condemning bhajans, Baba na Baba man, tumiyati dushta, and Gitavali are there. Oh mind, you're such a great rascal. You know, so that's the bhajan's all about. It's a great bhajan. It's nice. This way one starts to develop. Now, this Ujvala Nilamani, Baba Bhakti is described there. And Ujvala Nilamani describes about spiritual attachment. But actually, to tell you frankly, Ujvala Nilamani is way beyond Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So when I associate sometimes with many great souls, they say, look, problem is that people want to try to jump to Ragatmika Bhakti and Raga Marga without attracted to read confidential literatures, without having fully understood nectar devotion. First understand Chaitanya Charitamrita and nectar devotion very scrutinizingly. Then you can appreciate research into other works of the six Goswamis and appreciate the mood later. Ujvala Nilamani is very high. The brilliant jewel, bluish gem of Krishna. The bright bluish gem of Krishna that everyone's attracted to. That's Ujvala Nilamani. But it's the postgraduate work of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. How can we dabble in it without understanding nectar devotion? How can we understand it? Therefore, read those literatures that is relevant to your present advancement. And the rest of the literatures, although even Krishnadas Kaviraj quotes from so many in Chaitanya Charitamrita, understand your capabilities first. Respect those worshipful literatures from a distance until you're ready to appreciate them. Otherwise, prematurely you enter into these things without the dirty things having been removed from the heart, then you'll become a sahajiya. That's what the next verses are about. It's attractive to. This third verse is saying, if you want to live in Vrindavan, then follow Rupa and Sanatan and Swarup Damodar, Rupa, Sanatan, all their followers. Follow them, otherwise you won't make advancement. Follow them. It's the goal of life. Develop love like they've done. Aspire for that. Make a challenge for yourself so that you can eventually obtain their mercy. Now, the next shlokas are going to be great because it describes more about it. But tomorrow we're going to continue with 3. We still have a few more things to discuss about verse number 3. Any other questions before we go? Yes, Prabhu? Referring to about somebody giving up their vows? Suppose they were on a high level of advancement. They're on different levels of Madhyamanikari, perhaps. At every moment, the living entity has their minute independence to serve or not to serve. To carry the orders of the spiritual master is your most valuable asset in life. They were beyond the rules and regulations and that they could get away with it. They were relaxed. They were relaxed. If you see that Maya is starting to slip in, then you have to understand that, hey, I'm in trouble. That's what the next verses are about. Hey, I'm in trouble. Oh, Krishna, oh, devotees of Krishna, please protect me from these things. When you start to see these things, the problem is due to pride, artificial position of superiority, that you don't want to reveal your mind to a junior man or to somebody else. You don't want to admit that you're weak until it's too late. Now it's becoming more and more apparent that devotees do have to open their mind and confidence. They do have to express themselves nicely.